This is going to be the greatest radio show in the history of the world.
It's going to be lit.
I got so much love for our radio program.
Bickley and Murata.
Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata. This is the greatest
show. You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
The greatest of all time. Feel it right now.
The greatest thing ever.
It is.
Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
We are getting closer and closer to basketball heaven, folks. NCAA tournament week starting to percolate a little bit.
Starts tonight.
Yeah, in your world it does. Not in my world. No NCAA tournament ever starts on a Tuesday in my world.
But then you're going to say it starts on a Wednesday?
I'm going to have to accommodate ASU.
Just embrace it.
No, I don't want to embrace it.
It's not a play-in game. They're in.
Well, it's a play-in to the field of 64. And you know what? I'm sorry. Once again, everything, there's the reality of the NCAA tournament. There's the perception of the NCAA tournament. What people love is the bracket. I wrote about it today. It's the most user-friendly sporting event in America because you can be an idiot about sports and hang during the NCAA tournament. Just pick mascots. Pick your favorite school. Pick your alma mater.
There really
whatever.
Is no ridiculous way to fill out a bracket.
There's not. There's not. The odds that it would require, you can't rig this election. There's too many permutations, too many variables. The people who know a lot are completely paralyzed this time of year. The less you know, the better with the NCAA tournament. That's why everyone loves it. Everybody who has a bracket, how many do you think will have it turned in before tip-off tonight?
Nobody.
Nobody. So the tournament, everybody, that line, boom, you get a mulligan. You get whoever wins these not play-in games, even though they sure look like play-in games to me. Okay, I had a point here.
Yeah, keep searching.
Oh, no, I did have a point. I want to start by just giving a big round of applause to the Phoenix Suns. And I realized last night what I've been doing wrong for the last 9 years. When I cheer for this basketball team to lose, they're spectacular.
That was a spectacular performance last night.
If losing to the Bulls was what you wanted to accomplish, and I did, that was spectacular. They are really good at being really bad.
Well, they're shorthanded, Bick.
I know that. I told you, it is such a genius tanking strategy to suffer injuries to all your energy guys. Rashawn Holmes, Kelly Oubre Jr.,
Tyler Johnson.
Tyler Johnson. Right? It's brilliant.
I don't even remember Kelly Oubre getting hurt, do you?
No, he's... Look.
Look, stuff happens.
I'm not going to dare complain about it. What they did last night was masterful. In the grand scheme of what they have to, it was masterful. I'm sorry. Tank for the tank. That's what somebody has out there.
You're just setting yourself up for bitter disappointment.
Yeah, okay. But
May 14th is the day.
Uh-huh.
Where they'll sort out the ping pong balls.
It was so huge to lose to the Bulls. Because now you've got a cushion between you and team number four. Right? Oh, really? Spencer Keatsman and Jerry Carlin just did some ridiculous little handshake thing. That's what you guys are practicing?
No, it wasn't that at all.
I missed it.
He went in for like a handshake or something, and I didn't know what to do. I just stuck my hand out, and he went, boogie, 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 boogie.
It looked okay.
It was not a rehearsed thing at all.
Okay, looked very rehearsed. So I want to give props to the Phoenix Suns. That was, in a word, Spencer, outstanding.
That is outstanding.
It's kind of like the television version of what we got going on in the studio right now. The TVs have been working so good.
Oh, my goodness.
Not so much anymore.
What happened?
Three of them are off, and one of them's on the Golf Channel.
Perfect for the NCAA tournament.
Four right. of them are off.
What happened in here?
I don't know. Somebody did something.
I know. Golf Channel can be real inspired programming sometimes. I think you've noticed
that. It can, at times.
All right, let's start the show. Jarrett?
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash. Cannonball!
The Splash is brought to you by Roto-Ranger Plumbing. Plumbers you can trust for any of your plumbing services. Call 888-7-RANGER to get you out of plumbing danger.
All right, we mentioned item number one, the Phoenix Suns last night, losers to the Chicago Bulls. You know where I stand on this. If you want to be in the bottom three for Zion Williamson, you got to keep the Bulls in front of you. And that was a big, smart thing the Suns did. Whatever it was they did last night, Vinny, it was a smart thing they
well,
did.
Well, I mean, let me clarify my thoughts on this. If you're going to be a bad basketball team and you're going to get a top draft pick, obviously you want to be in contention for the best player. You would be foolish to feel otherwise. Zion Williamson is the best player in this draft, so yeah, I want the Suns to be involved in it.
Yeah.
The part I can't reconcile ever is when the ball is tossed up in the air and there's actual competition going on. It's impossible for me to root against any of the teams that I support. It's impossible. I just can't click that off in my head.
You mean put on a St. John's jersey and start cheering for the Red Storm? Or whatever they're called.
Are you sure they're the Red Storm? I just can't do it. I couldn't do it.
I'm with you.
You know, at the end of last year, week 17, the Cardinals are playing the Seahawks in a completely meaningless game.
Yeah.
I wanted the Cardinals to beat the Seahawks.
Now, did you see the story?
Maybe I'm dumb that way.
Did you see the story about how one of the city council people who switched their vote from no to yes for the refurbished arena was just given a lot of money by Robert Sarver? That story feels so gross to me. I'm going to share my thoughts on it later.
Wait a minute. You're saying that politics in general will make you want to take a shower? We've got hit the breaking
Stupid
news sounder,
me.
Jarrett.
Stupid me. Item number two, the NCAA tournament coming up. Well, I guess it starts tonight. I guess.
With an asterisk.
With an asterisk. ASU in action tomorrow. I like that. And I like their chances. There's not a whole lot of Cinderellas in this tournament for me. I think ASU can be one of them. So I'm hoping that they will. I'm hoping that this just doesn't turn out the way these things normally turn out.
ASU's got the potential to play with any of these teams.
I know they do.
But I think the overwhelming sentiment is going into this, okay, St. John's, they're all right. They've got a really, really outstanding player that could carry them to a victory. But if ASU gets past St. John's and faces Buffalo, the sixth seed, man, what's wrong with this picture? A Pac-12 team is an 11
yeah.
seed, and a team from the MAC
yeah.
is the sixth seed.
Yeah.
But people have that feeling like, oh, they only lost three times. They're invincible. No, they're not. ASU's beaten better teams than Buffalo this
yeah.
year.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about
it. But that's the maddening part of Sun Devil basketball for the last two seasons, is you really never know which team is going to show up.
It would be a great thing for them at this point in time. We talk about opportunities, windows of opportunity, Vinny. Think of the window of opportunity for the Coyotes to make an improbable playoff appearance and ASU to make an well, I wouldn't even call it improbable, but say they made a Sweet 16 berth and just took us on a little bit of a ride, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be cool?
It'd be really cool.
Yeah, it would be really cool.
It'd be like the opposite of bad.
All right.
Who do you like tonight, Fairleigh Dickinson or Prairie View A&M?
I don't care.
Temple or Belmont?
Belmont, big time. I like Belmont. Belmont's a decent team.
Do you know the Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View mascots, Vince?
Prairie View's the Panthers.
Yeah, because there's a lot of Panthers in the Prairie.
Fairleigh Dickinson, are they the Knights?
You don't even know. You asked a question you didn't know the answers to?
Fairleigh Dickinson Knights. Belmont is the Bruins, by the way. I had the logos in front of me, so it wasn't 100%
Have we ever gotten to the bottom of the mystery of as why universities and colleges are just so pedestrian with their mascots and their names?
But not always.
Not always, but I mean, how many Wildcats, how many Bulldogs do you need to have?
Tigers.
Tigers, Knights.
Lions, Bears.
Lions,
oh my.
Bears, oh my.
Yeah, but then there's the occasional, like, Akron Zips.
There's only
fighting kangaroos.
There's only one Sun Devils, just saying.
That is true. We got that going for us.
Which is nice.
All right, item number three. The Arizona Cardinals, another mock draft. Has Kyler Murray coming to the Cardinals?
Yeah, NFL.com's Bucky Brooks released his next mock draft today.
I'm not feeling Bucky Brooks, by the way. He has got DK Metcalf rated as the third wide receiver, I want to say, and N'Keal Harry behind him. I'm like, dude, you're doing it wrong. If you value that guy over N'Keal Harry, you're doing it wrong.
He's joining our show Friday, so you could ask him that question.
What a fine analyst he is, too. Great addition to the show. Good job, Jarrett. I'm sorry. Again, you can get fooled with these measurables.
Everybody, people get fooled every year by this stuff.
Every year. Every year it happens.
Well, yeah, so I believe it was The Who that said, he's a pinball wizard.
They wrote a song about DK Metcalf. No, there's also rumors out there from Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com about the whereabouts, Josh, you know, teams that might be interested in Josh Rosen.
Can I tell you something
teams
funny?
Teams that are preparing themselves to make offers for Josh Rosen should he become available.
Random memory. I had a kid growing up who had his own pinball machine. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world that his dude had a pinball machine. And you know what? It was the Playboy pinball machine. Now, there was no nudity. There was just Hef and some playmates around him in the facing of it, right? But I'm like, dude, you got a pinball machine? You don't have to feed quarters into that thing? You can play this thing all day if you want.
I had a friend in the neighborhood that had a pinball machine, too, come to think of it. He had everything, though.
Listen, back in the day, that is the kind of stuff that we thought was heavenly. You look at video games now. Video games, it's like watching television right now, right? Mm-hmm. That's how great video games. We never got to live that.
I remember thinking when I was like 10 or 11, I can't wait until I'm older so I can go baseball card shopping every week. It's going to be awesome.
Right. It's going to be awesome.
Remember the last time I bought or stepped foot inside a baseball card shop? Well, it's been a while, let's just say.
I'll tell you one thing I did. Talk about dating myself. Something Jarrett did all throughout high school. I made you do that. Do you remember that baseball game, APBA or APBA? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it basically was cards, roll the dice, charts. It was a nerdy game that somehow simulated baseball very, very well. I, at one point in time, right before video games started to pop, I wrote that company a letter. And I said, do you think, and I was just a kid, do you think someday there would be a real live baseball video game? Look at it now, dude. Seriously. Because all we had was rolling the dice, reading cards, finding the number on the chart, single to left.
Yeah, spinning a wheel. I had one of those games where you had those little discs
sucked.
That you put on the wheel and you hit the button and it would spin. It would land on the outcome.
Yeah. How did we ever make it through life?
It made us what we are today.
A bunch of losers.
Old, embittered losers.
Mike Trout's got a new deal.
Imagine the baseball card shopping he could do.
I know. $430 million over 12 years for the best player ever named after a fish.
Yeah, tops the per season average of new contract value that Zach Greinke has held for the last 3 years. $36 million a year for Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly a great player.
And the best fish, right?
When can we...
Better than Steve Trout.
When can we...
Catfish Hunter.
I pointed this out, but imagine being Tim Salmon
Kevin
and
Bass.
Not even being the best Angel outfielder named after a fish.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. But when can we expect some team success now for $430 million?
I think that's a fair question. He wants to be serious. I want to do dueling gambles, and he wants to be serious about the Angels.
We're going
to
do that plenty today.
Mudcat Grant. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I guess you're right. $430 million for 12 years. Wow. Man, oh, man.
I guess he's not going to join Bryce Harper in Philadelphia after all.
Yeah, I know. So much for my theory about Eagles fans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. The Coyotes lost last night to Tampa. They actually played a very solid game, yeah, as Jared found out the hard way.
When you hear quotes coming out of their dressing room from Oliver Ekman-Larsson that says, I think this is one of the best games we've played all year, and you just look at the score, 4-1. Couple of empty netters in the last minute for Tampa Bay, but... an encouraging performance against the best team in hockey. I mean, Tampa Bay wrapped up the President's Cup last night. They already clinched it. So, can you build off this? Can you bounce back? The road trip continues for the Coyotes.
Yeah. Four games in a week, and that was a tough one against a real good team. They played well, but a loss is still a loss. All right, that's everything.
They're still
right,
in possession of the second wild card spot by a point over
Minnesota.
Okay, well,
that's good.
That is the splash today, brought to you by Rooter Ranger Plumbing. It's Tuesday. We got some goodies to give away.
Ticket Window Tuesday opens now.
Give me a caller number, Bick.
Caller number 8, Vinny.
All right, it is Ticket Window Tuesday. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. Caller number 8 right now, 602-260-9870. You're going to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Aziz Ansari next Tuesday at Comerica Theater. Plus, some Peoria Sports Complex spring training tickets. Again, caller 8. 602-260-9870. You'll be the first of our two winners on Bickley and Murata during this Ticket Window Tuesday.
Had a really slow start. A lot of makeable shots. Just missing it. So there's nights like that. Try to do it in other ways and, you know, speed up the game and get more aggressive, but, you know, fell up short.
That was Devin Booker after last night's loss by the Phoenix Suns to the Chicago Bulls, 116-101, just on a strictly basketball plane. That was a terrible performance.
I give them a big round of applause. Bulls, I really, really do.
The Bulls are not a very good team. Obviously, they just got their 20th win last night. They're much like the Suns. They've got some young players that they're going to build around, and Zach LaVine and Lowry Markkanen and guys like that, but that was tough to watch. That was tough to watch.
No, and Devin Booker had a really bad shooting night. DeAndre Ayton played very soft. He was overly deferential to Robin Lopez.
I disagree with
you.
Of course you do.
Of course you do. I know. I didn't expect anything different.
Let me say this about...
You and I see two different basketball teams. But that's okay.
Two different basketball players when we're talking about DeAndre Ayton.
Okay.
Three blocks, three steals. Impacted some things defensively. Robin Lopez had a really good night. Robin Lopez has also had a very distinct advantage by the incompetent NBA officials who somehow have granted Robin Lopez the ability to commit an offensive foul every time he shoots the ball on a hook shot. They'll call clear outs on every player. Watch the tape. Go watch the video of every one of Robin Lopez's shots last night.
Okay.
DeAndre Ayton goes up to contest a shot. The off arm swipes the arm away, clearing the path for the hook shot to go in. Didn't call it one time. I don't know why he gets that treatment.
Did Igor alert the refs to this malfeasance from Robin Lopez?
This is not a new development. Okay. Robin Lopez gets away with this every night.
Come on. You're trying to tell me Robin Lopez gets breaks from the officials?
Yes.
Robin Lopez?
On the offensive end, yes.
I've heard everything.
He played well. I think overall he outplayed DeAndre Ayton. Yeah. But I don't think I didn't watch DeAndre Ayton last night and say, oh, he's soft.
That's pretty much what
I if soft
DeAndre
can equal 25-12 with three steals and three block shots, I'll sign up for soft.
Okay. I'm not going to hate on anybody or anything related to the Phoenix Suns today because I wanted
You just did!
Lose. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to, in the context of what I wanted from the team last night, they gave me exactly what I wanted. So I'm not going to be that hypocritical and claim, but come on. I just didn't know when Robin Lopez's hook shot became unblockable, became this unstoppable skyhook weapon. But whatever.
Oh, here was DeAndre Ayton himself on Robin Lopez's offense last night.
Tonight, especially Lopez down low, traditional hook shot, very unstoppable. And yeah, if I really wanted to contest it, it would have been a foul behind because how it's off and it was really protecting the ball. And I learned, so I told him, I was like, I'm going to take that from you today. I'm stealing that move from you.
All right, there's another
I'm going to steal that move from you.
We've heard that one before.
Yeah, we have. All right.
Don't steal it because you'll get called for the offensive foul, DeAndre. You play for the Phoenix Suns.
All right. Here's what I want to ask because this is honestly, honest, serious. You look at the Phoenix Suns right now, and you said it. Their schedule, plus the way they've been playing, there's a lot of winnable games on the schedule, and I know how I feel. I'm sucked into the excitement of Zion Williamson. I admit it. Okay, I'm being weak and mushy and distracted by the shiny object again. But let's be real about this here. After this season, after what we've dealt with, would it make sense for the Suns to start shutting guys down? Would it make sense to really get back in the tank? And let's not treat it. Let's treat this philosophically, because how serious is the losing culture? How much can you reverse the losing culture between now and the end of the season versus what you might lose along the way? Take the emotion out of it. What is your thought on that, intellectually?
Right now, it's impossible to answer. If the Suns are, to use your terminology, getting back in the tank and they get the number one overall pick and they get Zion Williamson, are they adding Zion Williamson to a mix of other 20, 21, 22-year-olds? Because will that pay dividends? Maybe sometime down the line it will. I don't want to sign up for another year of adding another teenager to an already young team that has proven that they don't know how to win games when it comes down to it, by no fault of their own. It's just part of the growing process. You're prolonging the process. Now, if you get the number one pick and you're going to revamp things, you're going to move around the furniture, you're going to bring in some veterans who actually know how to play and are guys that you can trust to be mentors and contributors, yeah, I'm a little bit more interested. But without knowing what else the roadmap has on it for the Suns offseason, it's impossible for me to answer that question.
And I think a lot of it has to do with just the growing legend of Zion Williamson and the fact that he just seems to be making a mockery of college basketball. He came into college basketball and had a great debut performance, just like LeBron did, came back from the blowout shoe, and he was fabulous. He shot over 70% from the field in the ACC tournament.
Well, going 13 for 13 one game will help your percentage out a little bit.
The way he dunks, the energy he brings to a court, the swagger, it's just the legend of it all. This is not like this previous draft class. This is crazy kind of mythology coming out of college kind of stuff.
Possibly.
And I've admitted that I get really distracted by this, but this is our basketball team. I would love Zion Williamson to be the hammer four that DeAndre Ayton isn't. I would love to get some ferocity and some real sweat. Could you imagine adding that kid to the edge we've seen with Booker and Oubre and Tyler Johnson? And okay, see, there's me. And logical you saying, yeah, well, what's it worked for this team in the past? True. Suns have been in the draft lottery 9 of the last 10 years. They still don't have any traction. That's really bad.
But it also goes to show you on the other side of the fence how uncertain this is. How confident are you right now saying that Zion Williamson is a can't-miss superstar at the NBA level?
Everybody's
tempted to say, oh, yeah, I'm totally positive of it.
But people
said the same thing about other rookies in the past.
I know. Just the quick, the rebounding ferocity. You're right. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
Well, if it doesn't work, though, what would be the reason? Like, what are the flaws that you could see that would be exposed in the NBA?
Because a lot of times, what we see is a dominant player in college, you put him in the NBA, they're among men. I mean, look at Steven Adams. You know what I mean? If you drop Steven Adams in college basketball, you'd go, that guy's nothing. But on the NBA, you can't move the guy. He's that strong.
Yeah, but this Zion would be the heaviest player in the NBA this year, right?
Well, you don't think that's potentially a downside? Yeah, he would be.
Is that right? Okay.
And well, still growing?
Yeah. It's
potential to put on some pounds, maybe cross over.
Young Charles Barkley,
into the overweight. Well, Mike DeCoursey, a longtime college basketball writer, was on with Doug and Wolf, and they asked him that question. Is there a comp historically for Zion Williamson?
No, he doesn't.
Wow.
And I, as a matter of fact, I wrote a column. You can find it on sportingnews.com. Do a Google or whatever about how, basically the headline was quit the comparisons. If you Google that with Zion's name in it in mind, you should find the column pretty easily.
Okay.
There's never been a player anywhere like him. And that's not, when I said that in a tweet, people were like, well, he's not the best. And Like, no, that's not about best. It's about unique. Mm-hmm. There's never been a player like this.
Yeah, that's all well and good, and yeah. I think Mike DeCourcy makes a good point, but if I'm the Phoenix Suns, I'm about best. I'm not about unique. I don't want to break any molds with my first-round draft pick. I want to win some damn games. And I think Zion Williamson's going to be a good pro, mm-hmm. but I pump the brakes a little bit more than others when it comes to can't-miss prospect at the NBA level. I just do.
I tell you what, here's the comp that I draw. You look at LeBron James. LeBron James had tons of hype, and he lived up to the hype, if not
surpassed it.
Mm-hmm. Zion Williamson does the same thing to this point. It would have been hard for him to live up to the hype he had going into Duke, and he's somehow beaten it.
Yeah, but it's one thing to say that about LeBron James, who's 16 years into his career.
I know.
And went to 8 straight finals and has rings. Zion Williamson has been at Duke for less than a calendar year.
So if you were the owner of the Phoenix Suns, you would sign off on go win, win, win.
Beck, they've been trying to win all year, and they have 17 of them.
That's my point.
It's not really a conscious decision to shut it down. They're not very good.
What was last night? What was last night?
I'm just getting confused.
He had a
splint on his thumb. I saw it.
I thought the Suns were fabulous last night. They did everything I wanted from them. I'm giving them nothing but love today.
All right. Adam Lopez was our winner. He was caller number 8. He gets some tickets to see Aziz Ansari at Comerica Theater on Tuesday, plus some Peoria Sports Complex spring training tickets. You got another chance to win on this ticket window Tuesday, presented by Arizona Central Credit Union, coming up at 12:15. Coming up next, we'll get into some Cardinals quarterback talk, one on the roster, one that could be on the roster next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Murata here on this Tuesday, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. Vic, an official countdown to the draft. Do we have that? Is it 39, 38?
I want to say it's 38 or 37 is what I want to say, but I can't tell you for certain.
I think 37.
Is it? I should have figured it out, mm-hmm. but I kind of wanted to put you on the spot.
It's okay. I don't mind.
3 new mock drafts added to our Arizona Sports 2019 NFL Mock Draft Tracker. Those are from Josh Norris of Roto World, Luke Easterling of DraftWire, and Bucky Brooks of NFL.com. All 3 of those mock drafts added to the list today have something in common, Bick. They all have the Cardinals taking Kyler Murray number 1.
Yeah, they, and again, it's, I wish I felt the same way as most national experts do. I don't feel as certain in my head that the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray. I think they should, but I don't feel the way national observers do, that it's a done deal, that they're taking him. I don't feel that way.
But you do feel it's a done deal that Kyler Murray will be the number one pick in the draft.
I do. The Cardinals are either taking him or trading the pick. I'm fairly certain of that. But, because I think Kyler Murray's at the point now where he's at that level. So, and the things that give me pause, our conversation with Peter King yesterday said, look, Washington went out and signed a quarterback. Miami went out and signed a quarterback. Now, did they sign quarterbacks that would preclude them from trading for Josh Rosen?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. And, you know, my half-baked philosophy, when the Redskins acquired Case Keenum, I'm like, that's a guy Cliff Kingsbury loves. Maybe they'll swap those guys out, which is pretty stupid. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's kind of things I think about. But it doesn't necessarily preclude them from trading for Josh Rosen, and yet it's just a matter of the timing involved here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When do the Cardinals feel good making this trade? Because let's be honest here. The idea of having suspense in the football world on the edge of their seat going into the NFL draft, what is the worth to the Arizona Cardinals of that? What is the worth?
You're
drafting Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Say you can trade Josh Rosen right now if you want. What is the worth of keeping everything under wraps so when you announce Kyler Murray, you get the reaction? What's that worth?
On the surface, just the surprise, not much. But the weight and investing more time in this could work out better for you. It could increase the desperation of other teams to get a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It will also increase the quality of the offers you get for the number one pick. I mean, keep a phrase in mind when you talk about a trade that went down, one of the big trades that went down this offseason. The Giants sent Odell Beckham Jr. to the Cleveland Browns. And Dave Gettleman is talking to the media just about every day. And on a call, he said, again, we did not sign Odell Beckham Jr. to trade him. We were given an offer we could not refuse.
Okay.
Now, most people, most critics will say, yeah, you could have refused that. No. You could have waited longer.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I was sitting somewhere last night, and that showed up on the screen, and I took a screenshot just of what you said. Because in a weird way, Vinny, that actually horrified me. Yeah, Dave Gettleman and Odell Beckham Jr., the other team made us an offer we couldn't refuse. If that's true, that's kind of horrifying to me that every man does indeed have a price. That you could look at Odell Beckham Jr. and go, that football player, we'll never get a wide receiver like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's enough of stuff that you would give me that would make me trade him. I don't like that. If you've got a hallmark athlete. What? Oh, the Godfather? Make me an offer. I got you.
I'm making an offer, kind of shoes.
Not bad.
Oh, it's really good.
Wow.
And you didn't have to do the cotton balls in your mouth like Marlon Brando did.
I know people say I already have those in my mouth.
No, it's usually just a sandwich.
Usually just a pastrami sandwich, right? And a gigantic bag of pretzels, but it's all good. So I was a little horrified by that. I didn't like hearing that. If you're the New York Giants, if you're a Giants fan, really? You traded away that exciting, dynamic player just because what you were getting back in return looked like a lot? Again, you didn't get assets back. You got draft picks. You know what I mean?
And Jabril Peppers.
And most people, when they made the trade, said, I can't believe they didn't get more.
But yeah, I know. And so really, but in comparison to what the Raiders gave up for Antonio Brown, you could see where Dave Gettleman would say, but that's, to me, that's not an offer you can't refuse.
I totally agree with that. But that, I mean, you asked the question.
Okay.
What's the worth of the Cardinals playing this close to the vest until April 25th and then drafting Kyler Murray? That's the worth, is the hypothetical situations that might arise from mm-hmm. it in terms of offers for either Josh right. Rosen or for the number one pick.
So if you believe the Cardinals are going to draft Kyler Murray, then you have to think that they want a first-round pick for Josh Rosen, and I'm sure they're not getting those offers right now. But because these other teams that might be offering for him are in a position of, hey, we already got a Case Keenum. Hey, we already got a Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. On that subject, you mentioned our discussion with Peter King from NBCSports.com, mm-hmm. who writes Football Morning in America. And he talked about that. Cardinals being coy with Josh Rosen right now. Not a whole lot of information out there. Could it work against them?
My understanding is people who have asked them about the availability of Josh Rosen have been told he's not available.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a double-edged sword. If you tell Miami that Josh Rosen isn't available, well, they go out and sign Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you tell Washington that Josh Rosen isn't available, they go out and trade for Case Keenum.
And those are valid points.
Yeah.
But again, like the way you identified it, I liked that. Those are not quarterbacks that would preclude either one of those teams from going out and acquiring their quote-unquote quarterback of the future. If they mm-hmm. identify Josh Rosen as that guy, how long is Ryan Fitzpatrick going to be in Miami?
Not
he stays
long.
On every team for 6 months.
Oh, it's a chess match, though, because those quarterbacks, while they're not great,
but they are the definition of stopgap guys
right.
who are on different teams every year.
But they're okay enough that the Redskins and the Dolphins can say, oh, you know what? No, we don't actually need the trade for Rosen Cardinals. We're okay. We're good for this year. And next year, we'll draft the quarterback to a Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but my question is, so in this lane, in this realm that we're talking, say the Cardinals get a trade offer that they like. Say the Giants or the Dolphins, okay, let's do this. Let's move this. You can have the 15th pick or the 17th pick. Okay, done. At that point in time, with the Cardinals like, but here's our condition, zip it. Because we want to dominate. We want to milk that moment.
But do you think a team would sign off on that? I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not.
And if you've already agreed to a deal, why do you want to keep it under wraps?
Because I go back to what Charles Davis said. Maybe I don't know, does the league get involved? Do they care that much about the draft as a television show that they'd want the number one pick to be kept under wraps without mentioning names?
How many years have we gone into the draft where we know who the number one pick is? Last year was different because we didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Pretty much every year we kind of know who the guy's going
to
be.
I just go back to what Charles Davis said, and I think Charles Davis is right when he said to us that if Kyler Murray, if they go to the wire and announce it, there's going to be a, and it's going to be one of those incredible moments. And I believe in that. But a lot can happen between now and then that could crack this story open.
Mm-hmm. Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast, brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. Coming up, the richest contract in the history of professional sports in this country will be signed by one player. We'll get into the Mike Trout extension with the Angels next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
All right, now look, Father.
Do you know how disciplined you have to be to have six-pack abs? Do you know how much I don't want to live like that? I can't live like that.
Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
First 8 years of his contract through age 26 have been more productive on an individual level than anybody out there. So $430 million, it's actually going to be more than 430. It's $100 million plus over Bryce Harper. It's $65 million plus over what Canelo Alvarez got from DAZN. I mean, it is an enormous figure, and I think the Angels rightly believe that he is worth every penny.
It's ESPN's Jeff Passan, Baseball Insider, talking about the news of the day in Major League Baseball, and that is the contract extension that is being agreed upon between the Los Angeles Angels and Mike Trout, 12 years, $430 million, an average of nearly $36 million a year. You heard Jeff Passan say it in that soundbite, more than $100 million more than what Bryce Harper got, which is... When you talk about comparisons of players, Mike Trout is a far better baseball player than Bryce Harper, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed.
But one of the questions that popped into my mind was, and you heard Jeff Passan do his best to kind of rationalize this deal, $3.5 billion television contract for the Angels. It kind of makes sense to secure this. But my question, and this lingers in the back of my head a lot, and when it comes to the escalating salaries in sports and the economic realities of being a sports fan in America, is when does the public say this is just too much? When do they get turned off to the point
by
where
the
they
number,
just stop watching?
Where it's completely, I don't know. That's a good question. I would highly, highly doubt a baseball player can give you fair value back for that number. Even if Mike Trout is the best baseball player in the history of the game, and it's possible he is, I don't know if you can get value back from one guy at $36 million.
He's already been the best baseball player for years and years, and they haven't even made the playoffs, I don't think.
And I suggested that, too, when we talked about it in the Splash, and I said maybe they can win some playoff games now. And I gotta find this. I got a tweet that said, it's not fair to say that about a baseball player. Here it is, from CardsFan954. It's baseball. Expecting one player to win championships is not a fair question, no matter how much they make. Greinke should have been winning us a championship in the past 3 years if that's the case. Well, A, Greinke's overpaid. He's not the best pitcher in baseball. Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. And if you're not paying a player that much money to help contribute to championships, what the hell are you paying him for?
Yeah.
Are you paying him to put up good fantasy numbers? I don't think so. Mike Trout has done that. Mike Trout has had talent around him. They have not won in Los Angeles. He's played a total of 3 games. He's got a total of 1 postseason hit on that unbelievable resume. I don't begrudge him because he is the best player in the game, and I think the success has got to come at some point because his influence has got to be great in that locker room.
Yeah.
And I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good ambassador for baseball. But what are you paying for if you're not paying for wins?
Well, and again, that's exactly right. And so I think you get to the point where you can't quantify $36 million a year to one baseball player. I don't know how you could do the math where spending that money over 8-9 younger players isn't a better call. And I'll bet you most analytics people would tell you so. Emotions get involved. It's a big market. They're swimming in money. They've got to sell tickets. If you're the Angels, you know what you're doing. I'll tell you exactly what they're doing. They're looking at the tickets that Bryce Harper is selling in Philadelphia and going, how could we ever survive without him? What would people say about us?
But I think there's a different impact with Bryce Harper because he's changing cities.
I agree. I completely agree. But I think if you own a baseball team in Los Angeles and your team is sort of the Jets to the Giants, you know what I mean?
That's fair.
If you're that team, you've got to show that, yeah, we spend just like the Dodgers. We're a big celebrity star-driven market, and we're on board with that. So I think they're spending that money on Mike Trout for reasons that are well beyond baseball and not real smart at that.
Don't you think, though? I mean, the Angels they've been a successful franchise. They've always been in that second slot as in terms of baseball in the Los Angeles landscape. You can argue over the past 30 years that the Angels have had a better run than the Los Angeles Dodgers with better players, and they're still in that spot. Is this realistic to assume that locking up Mike Trout for the rest of his career for the next 12 years is going to secure the number one spot away from the Dodgers? Look, I believe the Clippers will never wrestle away control of basketball LA from the Lakers, and I feel the same way about the Angels.
And you've seen this on Twitter. NBC Sports put this out there. Mike Trout's deal is equal or worth more than the value of these eight NHL franchises. Coyotes are, of course, on the list. Coyotes, Sabres, Avalanche.
Well, here's a stat, too. We spent so much time this baseball offseason and free agency talking about the lack of deals and maybe the length of time that it took to strike these deals. But Eric Cohen told me this today. I'm giving you credit, Eric.
Angels fan.
The Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, and Nolan Arenado deals that were struck by those four teams, that's over $1 billion in payroll just on four players, which is more than the Tampa Bay Rays have spent in 21 years of existence on their entire payroll.
Wow.
And those four players have exactly what, like five postseason wins combined?
Maybe, yeah. Machado had a couple times in the postseason with Baltimore. Arenado with Colorado never really made any noise. Trout's got three games with the Angels.
Harper, they got to like the second round once.
Once.
Right? Amazing, isn't it?
Think of if we lived in Colorado, the parody songs that guy would do, because you could rhyme Arenado and Colorado. Think about that. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Bob Apodaca and what else can rhyme with that? But here's the thing. If you're the Angels, though, and you have the best player in the world, and you have the money to sign him, how could you justify not doing it?
You couldn't. You would lose a lot of your fan
base.
That's
the thing. Now you're not being an L.A. franchise.
Because that's the other thing. It's not really like the Greinke thing with Arizona, because the Angels have tried. They've given huge contracts to Josh Hamilton, Albert Pujols, Otani, Justin Upton. They've tried to add guys with Trout. It just hasn't worked.
No, it's true. That's a good point. And so you've got to do it because you're L.A. It's keeping up with the Joneses, if you will. And that's why they do it.
Oh, it's not really L.A. It's L.A. of Anaheim.
Yeah, you know it is.
It's L.A. adjacent.
But that's what you buy. When you move and you change your name to incorporate Los Angeles into the name, that's the game you're playing now. That's the buy-in. When you get a Mike Trout, you got to throw him $430 million for 12 years.
Yeah, but I'll say this.
When did giving a baseball player a contract more than 5 years, when was that ever a good idea?
That's true.
Do you know what you're lining yourself up for if dude snaps his leg in year five and you have to sit on 7 years of that?
And he's not as young as Harper or Machado.
It's insanity. That the length of term for a baseball player, it's insane.
And if you look at, how about the contracts in baseball compared to the NFL? And you wonder why Kyler Murray, I guess he wasn't good enough to be a really great baseball player, but like the guaranteed money in some of these free agent contracts in NFL are what they're getting per season in baseball.
Yeah, I know, but dude, if you're Kyler Murray, that's not what you're thinking about. You're thinking about how you felt on that football field playing Alabama and the rush and the juice you felt. You're not getting that.
You're
in
thinking
AAA.
About that great relationship you have with Cliff Kingsbury and how great you're going to look in that red jersey.
Right.
And here's the other thing. It seems crazy, this Trout contract, but there's players in the NBA that are getting paid more per season for half the amount of games.
Yeah, it's true. It brings me back to my original point is when is enough enough? I realize sports is the business where your franchise value is always going up. There's always going to be more to have. Here's me dating myself. I remember the first $1 million players in baseball. Can you imagine that? $1 million? You make $1 million in baseball now, you suck. All right, coming up, ASU's chances in the NCAA tournament. One of three Pac-12 teams. We'll get the thoughts of Casey Jacobson next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.